I don't know if you have the proper authority to say these comments that could possibly be slanderous.
Wait, you don't...
No, you have to be careful on what you're saying.
I'm saying that...
And it's not pertinent to the issue.
You are done,
Ms. Mills.
You know there was a pedophile arrested on the rock.
Yes, because you spoke of it one of the last times you were here.
So, no...
Yes, you did.
Well, yeah, but not to this body.
No, but to the body of the Common Council you did.
Right.
Okay, but thank you. Okay. We've got to move on, Ms. Mills.
Thank you. Chad Cervenansky, 8530 West Hawthorne Lane. A little while ago you mentioned something about a rock crushing machine. Where on the property is that going to be?
I have no idea right now. Mr. Deedle.
The corner south of Rawson. Right there.
There was a red dot there. Did you see it?
So just west of where the existing old Loomis Road is, right here.
Okay.
Immediately adjacent to that.
So is this rock crushing? Is this just for crushing concrete on that rock ballpark commons property? Or is it going to be used by other construction throughout this whole city of Franklin?
Mr. Deedle.
It's going to be used just for their purposes, and it's going to be primarily the concrete that's already on their property, but it might be a little bit of concrete from off their property.
So you're going to see dump trucks from other construction sites throughout the city of Franklin coming there to grind up concrete. So you're going to see a lot of dump truck traffic coming from other areas just to pulverize concrete there.
Some. I don't know if it's a lot.
Well, it's important to know that because
really?
We need. You should actually have the facts on that because if you're going to be bringing a lot of dump truck traffic into the area, that's going to cause a lot of problems.
Well, there's going to be a lot of dump truck traffic, period.
Well, I know, but if you bring dump trucks from all other construction sites, you're compounding the problem and making it even worse.
What's the better form of reusing or reclaiming existing concrete? If we're reclamating, we're being better. Environmentally, we're being much further ahead.
It's okay if you're grinding up the concrete from just the ballpark commons, but if you're using that facility for other construction sites to bring their concrete, let them grind up their own concrete on their own prop. I mean, why are you allowing dump trucks from all over the city to come there to pulverize concrete? That doesn't make any sense.
They're only bringing dump trucks, and that would be for the purpose at
hand. Here, let me give you an example. When John Cation was running the ski hill, he brought in dump trucks of dirt from all over southeastern Wisconsin so he could profit from selling the dirt out of the ski hill. He would sift it on the property at the ski hill. He would sift all the dirt, mm-hmm. and then they would haul it out. Are they going to be doing the same thing here with this pulverizing equipment? Are they going to be doing the same thing? Or
Engineer Morrow.
Based on the knowledge of the construction plans and things that they have, there's going to be a lot of rock that needs to be used there. So you're going to see a lot of dump trucks come in, bringing rock, bringing stone. Matter of fact, having a crusher on site could prevent a lot of stone being hauled in. I guess it's conceivable they could bring stone in and crush it and send it out, but with the amount of stone they need, they're probably looking for all the stone they can to put in utility trenches and under roads. So I can't imagine that much would leave the site.
Okay, I got another question. I noticed they've been putting in a new road in the last like few days. We're right to the south of where the stadium's going to be. They've been taking out part of old Crystal Ridge Road. And they've been putting in the new road. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're in my parents' backyard, the second house off of Hawthorne Lane, the elevation of that new road is actually higher than the berm. It's actually the elevation of that road is actually higher than the berm. So when you're sitting in their family room, you can see the new road, and you can see, you can still see 76 and Rawson, all the traffic coming down Rawson, even with the current elevation of the berm. So one of my main concerns is that all the development that's going to occur on the Ballpark Commons, you know, grounds their property, is it all going to be elevated? I mean, is the stadium going to be elevated up? Is the new indoor-outdoor thing going to be elevated? Because if that's the case, then what's the point of having a berm if everything's going to be elevated and you're still going to see it? And you're still going to see it here. Because like I said, you can see that new road is actually higher than the berm from their backyard because of the elevation. First, I don't know why, but they made that new road extremely high up. And I'm just concerned that everything else that they build is going to be elevated. And I don't know if they're doing that intentionally for water drain off. I don't know what the reasoning is behind that, but if you're going to increase the elevation of everything, then the current berm isn't going to be high enough because you can see right over it right now, and you can see everything that they're building back there.
Mr. Deedle or engineering?
I can start.
Greg here too.
Well, the proposed berm is not built yet, and that proposed berm will be 10 feet higher than that parking lot that's immediately to the west. I'm not aware of any major grade change. There could be a minor grade change that I'm not aware of, but there's no major grade change from that parking lot to the road that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm just telling you, when you're in the backyard or in the house, that new road that they're putting in now is actually higher than the berm. The elevation, the line of sight, it's higher. It's higher than the berm. I can tell you right now.
The berm that's out there, though, is not the height that the proposed berm is going to be.
Well, they got a lot of the fill in already. Most of the fill is there.
10 feet higher than that roadway.
Well, I'm just telling you.
It's not done yet.
I'm just telling you because if you can make it higher, the berm, make it higher because it ain't high enough right now.
It's not.
So. And the other concern that I have is the lights because it mentioned something that you guys want to make the lights taller. I mean, I'm concerned that all the homes on Hawthorne Lane are going to be affected by the lights. I mean, what guarantee is that the homeowners are going to be protected from the lights? I mean, we don't want to wait until all the lights are put up and then go, oh, okay, they're lighting up all the homes. Now what do we do? I mean, this is something that you got to figure out first. So I'm just concerned about the lights.
You know, it's stated, Chad, that they're making a request to ease the lighting and sound. That's their request to us. The recommendation by planning is not to accept that. So we still have to talk about that. But yeah. I hear your comments regarding it. And that has always been an extremely critical issue from the council, from previous meetings years and years, or for the last few years.
Well,
it is still a very hot button on the council's perspective as well.
Like if you drive down 76th Street by the Greendale Community Center, you know, they have tennis courts there and this and that. Look how far those lights travel. They light up all the homes on the other side of 76th Street. They light up the whole backyards. And I just want to make sure that the same thing isn't going to happen with this project.
Okay.
Because those lights will light up all the homes on Hawthorne Lane, their whole backyards. And it might even travel over the homes and light up the homes on the other side of the street, too.
Sure.
So, okay. I mean, I thought it's something that you guys need to really look into consideration. Last thing is the hours. They're going to have the Top Golf thing open till 2 a.m. Is that going to be lit up at night till 2 a.m., all the lights out there?
Those are questions that we'll ask as we move forward.
All right.
Scott Solansky, 8565 South 68th Street. For 45 years, I worked in the mining industry. I know what a crushing plant is, and I have no idea how you people can sit up here and even think about putting a crushing plant that's within a residential area that directly east is going to be is the pick and save in a commercial area. The dust is to be created, the noise is to be created, just so that he can crush up a Crystal Ridge and Old Loomis Road. First off, you need rock to make Little Rock, okay? So if he's got no rock on the property, he's going to have to bring in rock to crush. I have a real novel idea. Why don't you go down to Payne and Dolan and get the rock from them? Yeah. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? And another thing, do you guys know what a batch plant is? Do you know how much noise and how much dust and environmental issues there are? And you're going to just put in a batch plant right on the corner of Rawson and Loomis Road? Come on, guys. First thing, you take that the stupid crushing plant and batch plant out. You got Greendale paper. You got the Windmill Park there. You got Stonehenge there. You got Pick and Save there. Let's put a batch plant in the middle there with a crushing plant. Come on, guys. Get your heads.
Thank you, Scott. Just so you know, these are proposals that are being asked of us to review.
You guys are going to pass it. We all know that.
Yeah.
You're going to pass it.
Well, thanks for your comments.
Okay. Yeah, on Tuesday, you had your comment council meeting. It was said, we're all in on this. We're all in on this, the council is. They're going to pass it anyway.
Any other comments?
Hi, I'm Bernie Carrion. I live at 6928 South 90th Street, just west of The Rock. And I've come out a few times expressing concerns about the development of The Rock. At first, it was related to the toxicity of the landfill and the fact that we're making a site for children's attractions on what many can consider the most toxic and hazardous site in Franklin. And when I say toxic and hazardous waste, again, I'm referring to the City of Franklin engineer who testified to witness toxic and hazardous waste being dumped on site, and I know you're all aware of that. But I'm here tonight, obviously, to talk about the sound and light, because, again, what I'm here sort of is like my civic duty, because it's sort of being left out. I heard it a little bit earlier, is that really, who's going to feel the negative effects of this, first and foremost? Who has already? And it's kids. And they're not here, and they don't have a voice, because they're in bed. My kids are hopefully going to bed at 8 o'clock, because that's what time kids go to sleep. And I don't know if we need to line up a string of 100 pediatricians to come out here and say, like, you know what? This is going to disrupt their sleep. That's not healthy for children. So I don't think that, you know, the path for Franklin's economic progress should be paved with the lives and health and safety of these children of Franklin and Greendale. It's not a necessity for economic progress for children to be harmed. Sometimes it's an accident, and we understand that. But this is not an accident. These are choices that are being made. And kids, you know, as you're celebrating the groundbreaking for The Rock, the ballpark commons, as you're celebrating the building stadium, and you're smiling, look over to the rooms of those bedrooms of those children that are right there. You can throw a stone. The baseball players can throw the baseball and hit their bedrooms. And we've already got sound at 10 o'clock at night. I'm a little further away. We can hear it in my son's bedroom. And my son asked me tonight, he's like, where are you going? He's like, why do you got that tie on? Where's Dad going on Thursday night? And so I'm going down to City Hall to talk to the Common Council. I thought it was the Common Council, and I understand it's the Planning Commission. But he's like, why are you going there? I said, well, I'm going to advocate because they're proposing, or possibly proposing, and I fear this, like changes to the sound and light. And who's that going to affect? It's going to affect my son Max. So I'm going to go home. I'm going to have to explain to him what happened here tonight. Because I think everyone in this room would agree that we as a city of Franklin at first prioritize the health and safety of our children. That's first and foremost. And anything which would happen to harm them should obviously not be allowed. Well, that's already happened. So I'm concerned that there's sort of like this compromise going on, that there's some kind of economic pressure, and then a casualty of which is the health and safety of the children that live adjacent to this site that need to go to sleep at 8 o'clock, especially on Saturday nights, because we get up early Sunday morning to take my kids to church. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's really concerning, and it creates sort of this public distrust that I think you're hearing in public officials, which is a consequence of expressing our opinion so many times and they're sort of ignored or dismissed. And it's a weird civic lesson to try to teach my kids as they're trying to understand what's going on here. So again, I advocate that whatever you do, first consider, is this going to hurt kids in that area? And if it is, then no, we can't do it. And there is no balance in our community for some harm to children that they can't sleep in order for economic progress to take place. That's not who Franklin is. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Jim Servanansky. I live at 8530 West Hawthorne Lane. I have basically, well, many questions, but the two main ones. First of all, this whole project, I have no idea where the cars are going to park. He changed his plan so many times, but you never addressed that situation. He added this golf range, and if you take a look at it, it took out half of his parking to the left of the stadium. I heard for phase two during construction, there's only going to be 400 spots for parking, yet he wants to have different functions out there. I'd like to know where these people are going to park. They're going to be all over the place. They're going to be on the hotel lot. They're going to be on all the bank parking lots on the corner on 76, all the pick-and-save lots. They're going to try and come down our streets. I heard Greendale already is restricting parking only by permits to keep them out of there. So even when the whole project is done, 1,300 spots still isn't going to suffice when there's a big event at the stadium. I have no idea where these people are going to go. And if you think traffic is bad now in 76 and Rawson, wait. I mean, you go there now at 5, 6 o'clock when the traffic is going west on Rawson, the light is red. It's backed up now to 68th Street. And with all of this going on, I have no idea where all these cars are going to go. This is a landlocked area, and they knew about it before you approved this. It's surrounded by all developments. There's no place to expand. And the density is so great on this property that there's very limited parking. So I think that's something that should be considered and figure out how you're going to handle all of this. The other question I have is also, we were told when this project would start that development would begin simultaneously on both the north and south sides of the street. Since April or even March now, I haven't seen anything going on for the apartments. All he did so far is knock down old homes, level all the trees, cut all the trees down, pile up the bark and stuff, and nothing's been going on there for the last 2.5 months. And I think we're getting conned with this thing. Because his whole goal is the stadium. The apartments have sort of, I don't know what happened to the apartments. We had this big talk from him initially. The professor from Marquette University came here and told us about all these fantastic top-end apartments we're going to have, $2,000 a month rent. I think there are about 200 of them. And then all of a sudden, the whole plan changed. Now it's up to 400 apartments, average apartments. But yet the TID district, the amounts of money stays the same. After he changed his plans, the TID was never renegotiated. How can you give him money for things that keep changing all the time?
Jim, it's still 200.
That's not what it says in his fires.
Well, there may be a combination of a plan that is coming to us, which is a transitional senior complex that would be to the front that may be construed in those total numbers. But the apartments are 212? 212.
Then why does it say 400 and all the information we get from
that? I'm not going to argue, but that's the numbers that we saw.
So I don't know.
Well, you know what? You wanted respect. Let's give it, please.
But even with 200-some units, I don't know where you're going to get all the parking over there either. That place is going to be packed, too, with parking.
Okay. I understand your parking concerns. I understand the density concerns. I understand the development on the north and south side. I thank you for your comments.
And the other thing, too, I don't know, he was talking about more senior stuff and memory care. We just got a brand new one that opened up on Drexel, and that's run by one of the best national companies there is that runs memory care. Why would you have another one a mile away? I don't understand what's going on here.
Free enterprise?
No. So those are just some of my comments. Thank you.
I hear it. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Dana Gint, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane, and I have numerous concerns and questions regarding this project, and it's pretty obvious that the city staff has numerous pages of concerns regarding this project also. One question I have is, what is the revision requested for the financial surety requirement? What does that mean? What is the revision for the financial surety?
The surety bond?
Surety bond, okay.
Mr. Deedle.
It was. It's related to what the council acted on Tuesday night. So right now, the landscaping and the mitigation requirement is that there be a financial surety, so actually it says it should be a letter credit or other financial surety. It's usually a letter of credit is what we require. But the ordinance allows other options, such as bonds. And then it says there's other options, but doesn't list what those options are.
So has the amount changed as far as the bond amount?
The amount had not been established yet. He has told us what the numbers are for the mitigation. We still do not know what the costs are for the landscaping.
Okay. The comprehensive sound and light requirement of the PDD needs to be followed. It should be the most comprehensive study and plan possible to protect the surrounding area that will be directly impacted. The sale of the county land involved conditions to help protect the neighbors from the light and sound. So obviously this is of utmost concern to us. There was actually county meetings that we had over 300 comment cards that were submitted to the county in opposition of this project. So this has a long history of having concerns of opposition for this entire project. At the neighborhood meeting on February 7, 2018, there was a discussion with Greg Marceau and other developer representatives that an automatic recording and reporting of sound violations could be supplied to the city on a weekly basis. The sound equipment monitoring systems were stated to be capable of automatically adjusting to reduce noise if one area had a higher impact from sound because of wind or other factors. Is this being included on the sound plans?
Mr. Deedle?
Yes, the developers agreeing to do all the stuff that they agreed with Milwaukee County. So that would include installation of those monitors and monitoring of those monitors.
But I'm discussing our neighborhood meeting that there was an automatic reporting system established to report to the city regarding violations of sound variance that if it was exceeded at a certain area.
I do not know if that's been established yet. I do know that for the last concert series, they did send us a report just like through the email immediately the next morning. But the talk has been they would establish something like, you know, an online app or something like that that would be that the city police department could get to anytime they wanted to. I don't know if that's been established yet.
So will there be monitors around the perimeter of the property with these monitoring systems that could automatically report as opposed to people running around with their little phones?
Three such monitors.
Okay. And has it designated where those locations are going to be?
General locations have been identified. That level of detail is not provided to us. Staff's recommendation is the one that's on the west side would be on top of the berm. The others, we don't know yet.
Sound doesn't travel down, it travels out.
The developers' representatives at this meeting also mentioned that surround sound speakers of the stadiums were going to be used as opposed to large speakers to reduce the noise. Is this also indicated on the stadium plans?
Mr. Deedle.
No, that level of detail is not available yet. They have not submitted any of those kind of structures or information. For the stadium right now, all they're asking for is just the lighting, the ball field, and the stadium seating and then some of the parking lots. They're not asking to build any of the buildings yet or the sound system yet, but that will be coming the next couple months probably.
Okay.
Have any of you ever traveled through the Hawthorne neighborhood or the Greendale neighborhood also that's going to be directly impacted by this? So they're beautiful homes, one-acre lots, quiet neighborhood. We're surrounded by the golf course to the west and Magnum Woods to the north and then the Rock Sports Complex. So adding additional noise and light will impact the whole area, and I want that to be considered. There also should be an automatic monitoring system for the Candlefoot light impact on the border of the property to be reported to the city and adjusted to meet or exceed standards of the Unified Development Ordinances. Are there lights and sound systems going to be on a timer that they shut off at a designated time, except for ball field that involves extra innings?
Mr. Deedle?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is that something that can be done?
Potentially, yes, but it depends on what happens with that sound and light study and what the council decides. Ultimately, the condition is written that the council approves what this sound and light study it consists of, and it's going to be the recommendations out of that study that would help determine what all these final decisions will be.
And I'd like to reiterate my neighbor's concerns that the request to extend the use of any of the facilities past 10:30 is unacceptable. I understand that there's conditions for overtimes in a game, but this project immediately abuts and is surrounded by residential neighborhoods, and allowing any facility to be open till 2 a.m. is an intolerable situation and should not be allowed. These homes abutting this property have small children, which Judith Mills mentioned that one of them was enticed by, I don't think she mentioned that it was a subcontractor of The Rock, actually, that did this. He was arrested at The Rock, but...
City Frank.
But he was doing a project for The Rock. I gotcha. Also, the building height should not be amended again to be raised even more. What building is proposed to be 60 feet that's north of Rosson?
Mr.
The indoor baseball facility will be over that height.
The indoor baseball facility? So it's the indoor sport, is it called the indoor sports complex?
It would be baseball and soccer that they will primarily do in that facility.
So that'll be 60 feet tall. Is that what's closest to the Hawthorne neighborhood?
Correct.
With the parking to the north. So that's going to be 60 feet tall. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. At the peak. So it's a peaked building? So you're saying 60 feet, that's still giant. And then the structure south of Rosson should also not be amended again to be raised to 50 feet and should certainly not to be allowed to be increased to a density of 36 units per acre, which would be the highest density of all the units in the city of Franklin. My other question is, why is there a $1 million part of the budget for the water sewer now not going to include the existing facilities of The Rock?
Mr. Deedle?
That's what the applicant has asked for. Staff has agreed with that because it is relatively limited, watering of some of the fields and the ski chalet maybe. We did ask for, and they did agree to provide a stub by the stadium that would be sized and located for the eventual connection of those areas in the future, and staff was okay with that.
Okay.
Do the present visitors and baseball players of The Rock know that they are drinking water from a private well in a landfill? I think that should be disclosed to everyone that attends events there. And where is the municipal lift pump going to be located for the Ballpark Commons development?
Mr. Engineer Morrow.
I don't know.
You don't have that? There is no lift pump. Okay.
There's no lift pump required for this large development?
No. I'm sorry, we're talking about sewer, right?
Yeah.
So, no, everything should drain by gravity. It goes down to the MIS, I'm sorry, the MMSD sewer down on along the creek.
Okay.
And south of it, it flows to another sewer system southward.
It should be noted that the Milwaukee Sewage District ran their entire system by gravity until the deep tunnel went away. So the entire sewage district was run by gravity until the deep tunnel went away. and we had to put in pumps.
Right.
Dana, how many more questions?
I just have one more.
Okay,
the other comment I have is that the landscape plan should not be reduced. There's been over 1,000 8-inch diameter trees cleared from this entire project, and obviously there should be actually more landscape added. This is the largest environmental corridor in all of Milwaukee County, and the other concern I have is how is the 140-foot golf netting going to impact all the migrating birds that use this environmental corridor? So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments as we move forward?
I just have one other quick comment. Chad Cervenansky, 8530 West Hawthorne Lane. I'm just curious, where are they currently burning the methane off right now? Because the original burn flame is now gone. So I'm just curious as to where they're burning it off.
Mr. Deal, do you have an answer, or engineer, or Greg? I thought you still have a burn flame out there.
Where's the second one?
There's one just west of the ski lodge and one on the far northeast corner of the site. They're temporary flares that will be replaced with two permanent flares.
I'm just curious because I noticed that the one